Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The Fall Television Festival season begins post-Labor Day with Norfolk, version 3.0 from Long Island. We're devoting most of this hour to Norfolk, starting with founder Noah Doyle and 2018 Honorary Chairman Bill Persky. They join me next. This Norfolk will be unlike the first two in an important respect, showing independently produced series pilots. The Russian cousin, one of those pilots, will highlight our second half hour through producer Andrew Kahlberg and star Caroline Parsons. Also ahead, a top author goes all in with Netflix, our concentrated segment, and celebrating the TV life of Neil Simon and John McCain. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York and simulcasting on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon for the program All About Television. No, we don't have a heat wave going on here in New York, believe it or not, because it's only 86 degrees at the top of the hour. And incidentally, I want to update you on a breaking situation this afternoon here in New York. You may have heard that there was a fire in the area of the Statue of Liberty on a construction site. The statue itself was evacuated. No one got hurt. There was an injury with a construction worker, but not in the area of the statue itself. So we just want to let you know that everybody who had to be evacuated from the Statue of Liberty got out okay. One minor injury to a construction worker, probably propane gas exploded in a construction site that was elsewhere on Liberty Island, not in the vicinity of the statue itself. But people were evacuated for precaution. We just want to know everybody is okay. We have a great program on the Norfolk Television Festival, which happens weekend after next in Long Island. We're going the entire show to it, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, phone call from you. So give us that ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. You'll also be involved in our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use it, and we will hear from you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon or Blog Talk screen or Spreaker screen 2. Follow the instructions. Those people will be live with you. Noah Doyle and Bill Persky from the Norfolk Television Festival join us live from New York after these news notes. Best-selling author Harlan Coben will adapt a number of his novels for Netflix. Coben's new arrangement covers TV series or movie versions of 14 novels plus future projects, starting with Runaway, his next novel due next March. The deal has Coben serving as executive producer on each venture. Safe, one of his most popular crime thrillers, was made into a Netflix miniseries this past spring starring Michael C. Hall of Dexter and 6 Feet Under fame. The Emmy Awards, honoring achievements by Latinos in TV and other entertainment venues, will return this fall after a 3-year hiatus. Fuse Media will carry the ceremony and co-produce it with Unidos U.S., formerly the National Council de la Raza. Date, location, other details will be announced in a few weeks. And popular British podcast, My Dad Wrote a Porno, I'm not kidding about the title, that is it, My Dad Wrote a Porno, will turn to an HBO comedy special next year. And that is news for today. We've been very proud over the years of this program to cover the television festivals that popped up, starting with the New York Television Festival and then others around the country. One that we've been covering around this time over the last 3 years is Norfolk. Yes, it sounds like the city that was the home of the Rifleman, the popular Western series, starring Chuck Connors back in the late 1950s, early 1960s. And in just 3 years, it's become one of the major festivals of its kind in the United States. And we're delighted to devote most of this program to the latest festival, which starts on September 6th and runs through weekend after next, post-Labor Day weekend. First of all, joining us live from New York is the founder of the festival, back with us again, Noah Doyle. Noah, great to have you back.
Great to be back, Simon.
And joining both of us is someone who has been on this program twice before and very memorable. He is considered one of the living legends of comedy, television writing, and producing. With his partner, Sam Denoff, he put together his best episodes of The Dick Van Dyke Show. He co-created Batgirl. He was a producer on Kate and Ally. He did a special with Orson Welles, The Man Who Came to Dinner, famous adaptation of that famous play and movie. And for the last couple of years, he has been the honorary chairman of the Norfolk Festival. It is a pleasure to welcome back to this program, Bill Persky. Bill, it is great to have you again with us.
It's great to be back, which means that I'm 87 on Monday and I'm still alive, so it's good to be anywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for those who don't know, when Bill was with us several years ago, he had written a wonderful book called My Life is a Situation Comedy, and it still is. Bill, why did you get involved with this festival in the first place?
Well, the first place was Noah. I mean, I didn't meet him before, but he's like a hurricane. I mean, he comes into your life and just everything starts flying around, and his enthusiasm and his energy. And, of course, I love television, and I have a house in Shelter Island, so it's nearby to go to the festival. But it really is Noah. And then once it got started and I saw what we could do, it carried itself. I mean, I just love being part of it, and it's wonderful watching the caliber of the shows that we're getting, like this year. I mean, how we're going to pick a winner, I don't know. Also, the meals are good. They have a lot of good parties with oysters.
Well, Bill, we're very lucky to have you.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Noah, how has this festival evolved over the last 3 years?
Simon, that's a great question. When we started this festival, the group of us over 3 years ago, trying to find an independently produced TV pilot was next to impossible. This year, 2018, we put together a panel of very esteemed judges, and we had over 53 high-quality independently produced TV pilots submitted to us. And so the first thing that has that we've seen evolve over the last 3 years is that the idea of independent cinema and independent film, everyone always understood and believed in, but now people are starting to get the idea that creators and emerging artists will go out there and make a television pilot on their own, and they'll have places like the North Fork TV Festival to be discovered, to have their work shown. And hopefully our eventual vision is to be made into a series, and our partnership with Ovation TV is something we're very excited to talk about and share.
Since you brought it up, is Ovation going to present any of the pilots that will be presented at North Fork?
Well, is Ovation TV going to screen any of the pilots post-festival or make into series? Stay tuned. We're very excited. Obviously, the creators and emerging artists who have produced these pilots have the rights to shop them independently, and we know a lot of industry people, probably double the amount or definitely triple from what attended a couple years, will be there. And so I want them to take those TV pilots and get both the best offer and the place that the most people will see. And if that's Ovation TV, so be it.
Okay. Guess what? I think, I know that Bill cut. For some reason, Bill dropped off the line. Bill, if you can call back, 646-652-2906, that'd be great. And I believe we have a call. Hello, you're on Smart Retail Live. What's your name and where you're calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Hello. All right, let's see if we can try to get that caller back on in a moment. As I said, Bill just dropped off the line. Bill, if you hear me, call back 646-652-2906, and we'll get you back on the line. Noah, in looking at the pilot, first of all, how tough was it to whittle it down from 50-something pilots, which normally would be what a New York television festival, other 10 festivals would have in a competition, to down to 4 or 5? And secondly, in looking at the pilot, there may be a common theme here, which is sort of like Americana or sort of close.
You know, it's a great question. We really put together a sophisticated jury and judging pool, and they spent a lot of time going back and forth to pick the four. I think what also is important that we did was that there's dramas and there's comedies, and it's a balanced program. We didn't want to have just one specific genre to represent the weekend.
I'm back.
And Bill, yes, I know you're back. I was about to ask you. In looking at these pilots, one thing that struck out is that they seem to be very personal. Pretty much every single one of them has a personal story to tell or is based on someone's personal life or personal reflection of a point in time.
Well, that's what all of the variety of opportunities to do a show allows for. I mean, the audience has, I mean, you could start watching television when you wake up at 5 in the morning and watch for 24 hours, and you will never in a lifetime get to watch everything. There is so much available that people, it used to be when back in the 60s and 70s, 80s, 90s, you had to do things that were universally acceptable. It had to be that everybody could watch it and love it. But now you can do very personal stories, and people who identify with those will watch it. So you have selective audiences, and you can feed them your stories in a way that you never could before.
And we're going to have one of those personal stories on our second half hour. It's called The Russian Cousin. It was put together by Theresa Beck. If the name is familiar, she worked on Law and Order. She was also the creator of the musical drama Smash. And she is the creator, writer, and director of this. We will have the producer of this pilot, Andrew Kahlberg. And we've got the Russian Cousin herself, actress Talia Parsons. They'll join us in our second half hour. But right now, our first half hour of this Tomorrow Be Televised Monday episode, we've got Noah Doyle. He is the founder of the Norfolk Television Festival. And Bill Prisky, the honorary chairman for the third year in a row. And they're both with us live from New York here on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you have a question or comment for them, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 045 name.
Every time I hear myself referred to as the honorary chairman, it means they couldn't find a job for me to do. So I'm an honorary. The first year I was very active, but then it kind of got that I was the honorary chairman. I do one interview at least on each with a writer or a producer, or run a panel, and I will this year with the group from one of the shows called America. That is, I mean, I watched it and I was amazed that they could make something as big and as, it's like a feature film on Peanuts, you know, the money that these kids have. It's amazing.
Bill,
honorary chairman.
Bill, that's a great point. And to Simon, one of the things we did was we surveyed everyone who submitted the TV pilots to us this year, and we found out that over 80% of the pilots that were submitted to the judges, they spent $50,000 or less. And the quality of the submissions for the amount of money people are now spending to making independent pilots have blown us away. And obviously, those of you who can attend the festival in less than 2 weeks now, I think we'll see it. And of course, you know, Bill on Friday, at Friday, September 7th at 3 p.m., will be moderating the panel with the creators of America.
You know, I have to comment, when you mentioned that Ms. Kogan has a new show, I was with her father the day she was born, Arnie Kogan. So it's so amazing to see what, you know, the kids who follow their parents into this, but she's amazing and her stuff is really terrific. And her father was also great. He was one of the really early great comedy writers.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Simon.
Yes. Go ahead, Noah.
So I was going to say, in addition to the independent pilot screenings, we're having our annual actors panel where you can see some of the rising stars in the television business. We're also doing a family program this year where we're having Jennifer Oxley, the creator of Peg and Cat, one of the hit shows on PBS, at 11 a.m. Saturday. So a family program has been added. We have the actors panel. We'll have parties and evening events each evening. So absolutely, the television will be phenomenal. But if you also are there to be able to join us and see more about the North Fork and join us for the events, I think everyone will really have a wonderful time.
Well, it's really an opportunity for people to get really up close and spend time with the people who are creating television shows.
And there's some marvelous creators in that bunch, by the way. I really think that the pilots you've selected, I think people will really be surprised at the talent on both sides of the camera that are involved. By the way, this is the first of three episodes of Smartly Televised that we are doing this week to wrap up August. And coming up on Wednesday, rescheduled from last week, live from London, we will have the creators and producers of The Innocents, the brand-new Netflix drama, as Tanya Elkington and Simon Zurich. And we'll also meet one of the most popular new episodic television directors around. He is very versatile. His name is Eric Dean Sector, and his credits include Modern Family and Blackish. That's Eric Dean Sector right here. That's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, along with the folks from The Innocents, live from London, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Noah, in terms of the audience you're getting, are we going to find people from Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and Walmart and maybe Disney in the cloud looking to perhaps turn one of these pilots into a series or more than one?
You know, the interesting thing about TV is that I hope and I assume there'll be a number of industry people and they'll be represented from those companies. But I think there'll also be people from the technology world who are maybe thinking about starting to create their own streaming platform or different digital players and are saying, where do I come for content? And so we're hoping to be a place not only for the entertainment community to come, but also the technology community to see out there, because there's so many different ways that you can now distribute episodic TV. And so we believe they will also be in the audience, and that excites me.
And, of course,
on
our board is Josh Sapan, who is the president of AMC, which has probably the most active television schedule there is. I mean, he keeps coming up with brand new shows, and he's on the board of directors of the festival.
Let me jump in just quickly, correct Bill. Josh is we're a big fan of Josh. He's been super supportive from the start. Josh is the owner of the Greenport Theater and has been a very supportive of the festival over the year. Doesn't serve on our board, but is a key person.
Oh, he's not anymore? I missed the meeting.
to be a key person of help us get from where we are today.
So. Noted by technology, we know that there's a bunch of players now using blockchain and cryptocurrency, and one, by the way, that is using blockchain and regular dollars and cents, to try to encourage new content creators in television to create, finance, produce, and market their programming, distribute their programming without a middle player. Is that the kind of technology company you're talking about? Because we've covered some like LibTree Adept, which is actually starting their own service called Blossom TV this Liberty Weekend, or Singer DTV, or some of the other ones that are out there in the marketplace.
Possibly. I mean, what amazes me about, television, how much it can change is that whether you watch it on the TV or on your phone or on an iPad, whatever device it is, it's all you're going to need to do is create an app. And if someone starts up an app and they can purchase content at affordable prices, there'll be a lot more streaming platforms out there. And I think a festival dedicated to television pilots is a great place to come looking for content for your startup app, whatever it is that you're trying to curate for. Whether or not payments are done or the back ends are designed with that type of blockchain technology is not for me to decide. But I just think it's such a interesting world right now in the media landscape that I'm glad we're part of.
Yeah, and Bill, what do you think of this? When you were on our show a couple of years ago, Netflix was just really getting started. They had a couple of hit shows,
right,
like Orange is the New Black, House of Cards. But now you have Netflix, which is probably now the world's biggest programmer. You have Apple getting in. You have Hulu and Amazon, some of which have now won major awards, like Hulu with The Handmaid's Tale, which is certainly a front-runner for the best drama Emmy for the second year in a row. You've got Walmart maybe getting in. We know Disney will get in. But we're also seeing, as Noah is, I think, suggesting a little bit, we're seeing these new streaming using smart TV sets and devices players, like Afro Life.TV, once the Netflix of African Americans, or Reverie, the Netflix of gay, lesbian community, the Stage Network, which launched a week ago, which tried to be all about theater. We're now seeing these organizations, DC Universe coming from Warner Brothers, and Refinery 29 doing Channel 29, all these new players that are using smart TV sets and devices to get to you and me, the public. What do you think about this whole landscape of television now?
I would bet within 5 years, it will not be referred to as television. It's going to have a new name because the whole younger generation, the millennials, they don't even own television sets. It's electronic entertainment to them. You know, we call it television, but I think we're headed toward a time when, I mean, I remember when we were doing the Dick Van Dyke Show back in the 60s, and even That Girl in the 70s, the thought that there would, in fact, the contracts that were written by the Writers Guild and the Directors Guild never had a stipulation for things like video afterwards, discs. It wasn't even on the horizon. And then once it started, it became what it is now. And I think it's just the beginning, and it isn't television anymore. It's wherever you can watch. The only thing I can't watch shows on in my house is the toaster. You know, it's on my phone. It's amazing what's happened. The thing
Why do
I
we know,
think,
what?
So,
go ahead.
One of the things I think is missing is it used to be something that you did with other people. You sat in front of a television set with your family or your friends, and you watched ball games or whatever it is. Now it's very one-on-one, so that community communication is lost in all of this.
Which is why I'm wondering now whether, because of artificial intelligence being built into television sets and devices at a fast clip, this is for both of you, whether we're going to see an era of interactive television that could bring a community back, whether you come together to try to be involved with an interactive program, or you try to order merchandise, or you watch an interactive ad and you all with your voice say, Siri, let me have that. Let me order that pizza from Domino's, or let me buy this product from Walmart or Trader Joe's.
No, Simon, it's coming. And what makes independent TV trickier than independent film is that, to get it sold, you just don't need distribution. You also have to get financing for the remaining, finish the series. And so this idea that an independent creator could partner with a very specific brand to have some interactive aspect of a series that is actually for a very low price point, it gives him the financing to finish the series and then put it on his own streaming platform where he controls the show. It's going to get there. I think we're closer to it than we think.
Yeah. Bill, before we wrap this segment up, I want to let you know that later on in the hour, we're going to talk about Neil Simon, and I'm going to talk about his TV work. And the thing that really struck me in doing the research is Neil Simon, and I know that all the plots are coming in about everything he did for the theater, everything for movies, but he really was a major contributor to television by working with Sid Caesar in the 50s, the great Nat Hiken on the Phil Silver Show, and in fact, in the last couple decades of his life, he actually adapted some of his best plays for television and some of his
best
scripts of Goodbye Girl. And I'm curious, I'd love to get your thoughts about what you think about Neil and how television shaped his entire career.
Well, first of all, that group on the original Sid Caesar show, where the writers were Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks and Neil Simon and his brother Danny Simon and Larry Gelbart, who created MASH. I mean, there never has been a group ever again put together as talented. Oh, actually, they had Woody Allen for a while, too. And in a way, those guys created television comedy. Everybody started to try to do what they did. And Neil, or Doc, as we all refer to him, I always hated him because he made me feel like I never accomplished anything. I mean, he was a nice guy, but he made me feel like a dud. He had 40 plays, all hits, 15 movies. I mean, the man was a writing machine, and they were all good. Nothing ever failed of his. And then The Odd Couple has been on twice as a series, both times run by Gary Marshall, one of my oldest, closest, and sadly missed friends. And, you know, Gary created a whole other world of television. And those shows are still current. I mean, The Odd Couple has had three different couples, and they all work.
And thank goodness, by the way, that thanks to you two, we can see your show of shows. I understand you put up another season. I saw Caesar's Out was just put up, I guess, the last couple of days, a full-length 60-minute show, and they're just marvelous to watch. And the Phil Silver Show also, including some of Neil Simon's work on that program, is also available on YouTube as well.
I have to say to your audience, if you ever want to see the funniest television piece ever done, it was on Caesar's Hour, your show of shows, excuse me, and it's called This Is Your Story.
Yeah.
I lecture at a lot of colleges with young people, and I bring that with me. It was done 60 years ago, and it is funnier than anything on Saturday Night Live. And I say to the kids, if you don't love this more than anything you've ever seen, after a minute, I'll turn it off. It never has been turned off. So if you're going to get those shows, watch This Is Your Story.
I've seen it many times, Bill. It is one of the most brilliant pieces of comedy you will ever see on any stage, on any venue, and it was all done live, on the spot.
Yeah.
It's a tribute to everyone involved with that show, especially the great, really super legend, Sid Caesar, and Carl Reiner, and all the writers in that show.
Carl Reiner was the key to that. Carl was like the traffic cop on that. And the thing you have to remember is the television cameras in those days were the size of Volkswagens. I mean, it wasn't like now where you can carry a thing. I mean, they needed an army to move those things around. So it makes it all the more amazing that they did those things live, written, and on the air in 4 days.
Simon, before we close, I just want to let you share with your listeners that if they put in NFTV10, they'll get 10% off on tickets or passes if they want to join us in Greenport, New York next weekend. That's NFTV10 for 10% off any tickets or passes for next week. And thank you, Simon. We really appreciate you taking the time to speak with Bill and I this afternoon.
Nice talking to you again, Simon.
Bill, absolutely. Anytime you want to be back on this program, we'll do a full hour with you. It is a treat and honor to have you on the program. Congratulations to you, and Noah, congratulations on this festival, by the way.
Thank you.
September 68th is the festival, and Norfolk.tv is where you go online for the details. Noah, Bill, thank you so much. All the greatest to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Noah Dunnell and Bill Persky joining us live from New York here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And coming up in our next half hour, we'll present one of the TV series pilots that will be presented at Norfolk. It's called The Russian Cousin. We've got producer Andrew Kahlberg and the Russian cousin herself, actress Caroline Parsons. They will join us live from Brooklyn and Los Angeles in our next half hour. More Tomorrow Be Televised coming up for first some words from the fine folks at audible.com. You know, If you love Harry Potter, you can't get enough of Harry Potter from the movies and the books and so forth, there's a brand new audiobook you would love, and you can get it right now through Audible.com. It's Harry Potter, A History of Magic. And all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information that can transform the way you hear the world. Why? Well, there's over 108,000 titles to choose from, every category and then some possible. You can listen on any device, including wherever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio Speaker and iHeartRadio. And all you have to do is just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, 1 month trial of service, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So, audibletrial.com/televised. Check it out today and be one of the latest to find out why at audible.com, listening is the new reading. More from Harry Potter is coming away, but first we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. It's www.blogtalkradio.com and speaker.com. More than 30 million subscribers around the world every month and growing. On Blog Talk Radio, it's your home for LIB Radio. Check it out every weekday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's BTR available 24/7. At YouTube.com. Well, we're back for the second half of Tomorrow We Televise today, mostly dealing with the North Coast Television Festival happening week after next. That is September 68th, post-Labor Day in Long Island. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guests coming up, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04M. Also coming up, the answer to our past classic trivia question and some thoughts about the TV side of Neil Simon, and a few thoughts or two about Senator John McCain, both of whom passed away this weekend. As mentioned in our first half hour, one of the big things that's new about the Norfolk TV Festival going on Long Island next week and next weekend is that for the first time, they are screening independently made television pilots. One of those pilots is called The Russian Cousin. It was put together by Theresa Rebeck. She's the person who used to work on Law & Order and also created the musical drama Snatch that ran on NBC for 2 seasons. She is the creator, writer, and director of this interesting pilot, and she was going to be with us today, but unfortunately last night, medical emergency came up in her family, and we are sorry that she couldn't be with us, but we have the two key people beyond her that are involved in making this happen. Joining us live from Los Angeles is the producer of The Russian Cousin, Andrew Kahlberg. Andrew, thanks for coming in.
It's great to be here.
And joining both of us is, believe it or not, the Russian cousin herself, actress Caroline Parsons, joining us live from BKLYN Brooklyn. Hello, Caroline.
Hi, Simon. How are you? Thanks for having us.
A pleasure. Andrew, how did you and Theresa come out with this pilot? How did it all happen?
Well, I've obviously known of Theresa's work for quite a while and been a fan of it. Coming from the theater, she's a huge playwright, and I was also a fan of the show Smash. And we had gotten connected through a mutual colleague, and she'd actually written an entire season of episodes, and she wasn't sure if she envisioned them as television pilots or a web series, or, you know, she kind of had this block of content and wasn't exactly sure where it would live or how it would be executed. And we met up and started exploring how we could do this on our own, you know, not ask for permission from somebody else. And we decided that two of these little kind of blocks of content worked nicely as one entity. And that's what came about, 20-minute pilot.
Caroline, is this your first experience doing a TV series pilot, much less a pilot that's independently made? I mean, this is not coming from a studio, from Warner Brothers or Universal, NBC Universal or Paramount, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how did you find out about this project?
I have a history with Russian. I spent a lot of time in Russia, and I had created a Russian character named Svetlana and was making short videos with her. And I know Theresa, and she saw these videos and said, oh, you're the right person to do this series with. You seem to have a lot of personal knowledge about the experience of Russian women and, a gift for embodying that.
Andrew, take us through the plot of this pilot. What's it all about?
So it's about an individual whose Russian cousin has reached out to her and is coming to visit, Russian cousin played by Caroline, and this cousin kind of ingratiates herself in the friend group and the extended circle of this family member of hers, and you start to gather that there's no real proof that she is a family member. She's reached out and she said she's a family member, but they hadn't met before. They hadn't known each other. And there's a suggestion that she might have ulterior motives for being here in the country. So, obviously Russia is such a hot button topic right now, but this is a kind of lighthearted and fun way into maybe a more serious subject. But it deals not just with like this kind of like espionage type of thing or hypothetical espionage, but also it deals with, you know, cultural differences and gender differences and all that other stuff that comes when a new person enters a circle.
Caroline, when Andrew and Teresa showcased the series and the idea for your character, what first came to mind about how to play this character? Especially since this is a character that everyone around her in this family is sort of thinking, well, do we really have a Russian cousin or not? And if we don't, who is this person?
I think it's a wonderful character to play. She has a lot of ambiguity. We really don't know by the end of the pilot. We don't know the nature of this person yet. We don't know if she's someone to be trusted. But we feel that she's delightful, I think, and interesting. And I love playing that ambiguity.
The Russian Cousin is one of the group of pilots that will be presented during the North Fork Television Festival version 3.0, taking place next week and next weekend in Long Island. And specifically with the Russian Cousin, it will make its debut on Friday night. That's a week from Friday, December 7th at 7 p.m. local time. We have Andrew Kahlberg. He is the producer of this pilot. And Caroline Parkins, who is the actress herself who plays the Russian Cousin. They're both with us live. Caroline from Brooklyn, Andrew from Los Angeles. East-West Connection this half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us as we devote most of today's episode to Norfolk, which again takes place September 6th to the 8th in Long Island. By the way, if you want more details about the festival at large, go online to norfolk.tv or www.norfolk.tv. And if you have a question or comment for our guests, don't be shy. Ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As mentioned before, this is the first of three episodes we are doing this week to wrap up August. Coming up on Wednesday, live from London, we'll be joined by the co-creators and executive producers of the new Netflix hit, The Innocents, Anya Elkington and Simon Durek. And then we'll meet Eric Dean Seton. A lot of people think he is the bright new talent in the world of episodic TV directing. His credits include Modern Family and Blackish. Eric Dean Seton, live with us. That's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. And coming up later this hour, we will have the answer to this week's classic trivia question, plus some thoughts about celebrating the TV life of Neil Simon and Senator John McCain. Andrew, how long did it take once you got your cast and your crew and Teresa aboard with the script? How long did it take to make this pilot?
It didn't take long at all, actually. We shot it over two weekends, essentially, you know, and so separate weekends. I mean, they weren't consecutive, but it was a really easy process. Obviously, we called in favors and crewed up relatively quickly. But we were going. I mean, it takes a month or two to get everything kind of in place, but by the time to actually shoot it, I would say that we were probably like 5 days total.
And where did it get produced?
Yeah, we shot it in Brooklyn.
And Caroline, how did that atmosphere, because you're in Brooklyn and you had that trip to Russia, how did that influence the way you played the character and the way you were on the set?
Well, I guess I felt at home because Brooklyn is my home and working in Brooklyn is really wonderful, both convenient and a place of comfort and history for me. So I really enjoyed that. And I hope that we get to make this whole series because I'm really interested in the Russian culture at Brighton Beach. And I think if we get to make the whole series, we might get to see the character interact with that culture. So, yeah, I'm pretty interested in all the people who come from Russia and those who live and settle there or other parts of the city. And yeah.
What do you think was unique, Andrew, about Teresa's writing of this subject? I mean, I think this is the first television series idea dealing with the Brighton Beach community, the Russian community in Brighton Beach, which, if you know Brooklyn very well, it's a very large, very insular community and quite special. It dates back a long time.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, when kind of describing it initially, what I think makes her take on this is that it's humorous. You know what I mean? I think right now, and it's humorous in a very relatable way. I think that, like, when you see content coming out that's addressing Russia and Russian culture, there is either super broad, as in, you know, almost sketch comedy type of work, and then you have something that's very, very serious on the other end, but something that, like, kind of falls in the middle of that is making light of it, but still making you kind of, like, turn your ears up a little bit, I think is a very unique way into it. And obviously, coming from the theater, Teresa, you know, writes characters and situations amazingly. And so it's natural that it translates to a television world so organically. So, you know, you do get a sense, like I said, that while it's very funny, there's a full backstory that's been realized, and it makes you kind of question what all the realities are.
And probably of her television writing, this is by far the most different and maybe the most personal, because she did Law & Order, she did Smash, which was all about the making of a musical comedy on Broadway, and now here she is in a more intimate community and, I would guess, more personal story to tell.
Well, yeah, and Smash was definitely personal as someone that came from the theater and dealt with all the drama behind the scenes of the theater. But I think, I mean, like you said, like dealing with, like, you know, Teresa lives in Brooklyn as well. And so, you know, dealing with, like, kind of her home turf in this way. And obviously Teresa is a very passionate person politically and very vocal in that regard. So this is another subtle way to, you know, to illuminate, you know, feelings on the current situation as well.
Yeah. Andrew, with all the ways that you could take this pilot and make it into a series, everything from take it to the television networks, take it to a Netflix, a Hulu, an Amazon, a Crackle, a CBS All Access, take it to an independent production company like a Fremantle Media or Sonar or Legendary, et cetera, playing them out there, or take it to a blockchain cryptocurrency provider and see if you can get the show created, find, and so forth. Why did you decide, and Teresa decide, we're going the TV festival route? Had you gone to TV festivals, either one of you got a TV festival before, were impressed by the scene? Well, what's it made you feel like this was the best way or the way to get it out to the public?
Right, and no, we haven't done this before, and it, we didn't even set out to do this necessarily. You know, it wasn't like when we made this project, we were like, oh, we're going to just do the festival route. But, you know, these certain festivals started coming up more and more in conversation. And these are kind of a new phenomenon, these television festivals. And at the end of the day, you know, there's definitely one of the reasons that making it independently to begin with was the desire to have a certain amount of, you know, creative control over it. And so, you know, if there is an avenue where someone can see what you can accomplish on the budget that you had, that they might empower you once they finance the next round of this to really make your own decisions and go forth in that way. I think that having something in hand and an endorsement of a festival like this is a very powerful thing.
Yeah. Given that Teresa had gone different ways to work on Law & Order, and then, of course, to sell Smash to NBC and Steven Spielberg at DreamWorks. How did she find this process of taking it to a festival? And then, lo and behold, here you are. You're one of not just like 50 pilots that are being screened at one shot, but maybe four or five at most.
You mean just how the process different from her or for her? Or I'm getting a little bit of clarity on the question.
Two things. How did she find the process? You know, because it's something different from what she had done before in terms of trying to get a TV series on the air.
Yeah.
And secondly, were both of you surprised that, you know, in most television festivals, you have like 40, 50, 60 pilots or more being screened at the same time in a competition-like
right.
setting. But it's, here in Norfolk, you are one of only four or five pilots this first time around that are being shown.
Yeah, no, and I mean, we're very grateful to the folks at Norfolk. And we definitely realize that we're in very special company, and they've been fantastic. You know, another aspect of, you know, while Teresa's directed, she has a feature coming out soon called Trouble that stars Angelica Houston and Bill Pullman. But a lot of the television work that she's done has not been something that she's directed. So this also was an opportunity to, for her to direct the piece that she wrote, which I don't think would have been immediately afforded to her in another circumstance. So that's been another really great aspect of doing this this way.
Tell me, this is, even if this is the first time that Teresa has directed something for television, or I guess in her career, how did you find that? This idea of working, you know, with a veteran playwright and veteran TV writer, but also in a way she's like you going to new territory where she's directing you for the first time or directing a crew, a cast for the first time.
Yeah, it's incredibly inspiring. Teresa is so smart and so loving with her actors and her crew. And it's, you know, she's just a wonderful thinker and communicator. So I was very inspired to see her stepping again into the role of director. And it seemed like with this project, there's an opportunity to work independently. Maybe there's a really positive aspect working independently of a large studio in the beginning and really getting to see her vision through. That's how I felt in the process, that this was a great, just very inspiring to see her have this idea and work, bring her talent to every aspect of it without having someone else around really editing her vision. So I thought it was hugely empowering to work with her in this setting.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, now that you have the showcase at Norfolk, are you and Teresa getting nibbles from Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or anybody about let's turn your pilot into a series?
Well, the process is really just starting. So I don't think until we're going to have those bites necessarily until after we screen, but we have started to have other festivals reaching out as well. And so I think, you know, end of next week, once we screen, you know, we anticipate starting to feel those conversations a little bit more thoroughly.
Yeah. Well, which festivals are sounding you out? Are you hearing from, I know you have ITVF coming up in Manchester, New Hampshire. It's a very prominent one coming up in October. Anyone else looking at any film festivals, by the way, getting a TV? Are they looking at perhaps taking the pilot?
Say that last part again.
I was saying, all right, we know the number of TV film festivals now getting to television. Tribeca has its own TV festival, which is also coming up next month. But other film festivals are now running, like Toronto, are now running TV projects. Have any film festivals decided, let's do television this way?
Right. No, I mean, you're right. We do have ITVS, which we're super excited about as well. But we didn't throw this out to, you know, we didn't do a 20 list submission. So we had a couple, like, Norfolk and ITVS that were like put on our radar, you know, immediately. And those are the ones we really target and we're putting our effort behind. And I think that, you know, with a lot of these, you might have different people in the audience, but a lot of the same buyers and financiers are coming to all of them. So, you know, I think that like, there's not necessarily a need to play a dozen of them or anything like that.
Carolyn, before we leave you and Andrew, if this does become a series, how would you like your character to evolve?
Oh, gosh. However Teresa envisions her, I would like to be surprised and delighted, actually. I would just like to be surprised by who she turns out to be and what her motivations are. I'd like to see a series where the audience is constantly on their toes and feeling maybe a little bit of discomfort or not knowing as they're watching. And I think that's what I'd like. And I'd like to be surprised as an actor too about, you know, as we discover the background of this character.
Do either of you have a TV project coming up while we wait to see how this does?
I do. I have an unscripted show that's been packaged, but unfortunately I can't quite say what it is yet, but it has a really fun piece of talent. It's a game show.
Okay, look forward to getting away about that. And Caroline, how about you?
Nope, nothing in the queue.
Well, we'll see if the Russian Cousins does become in the queue, and it will be showcased for the very first time in public Friday night, September 7th, 7 p.m. local time, as part of the Norfolk Television Festival, now in its third year, coming up next week and next weekend at September 6th, 7th, and 8th in order. For more details about both the Russian Cousins and the festival overall, here's where you go online, Norfolk.tv. That's www.norfolk.tv. And again, I apologize that Teresa could not be with us today, and we will extend the invite to her that once she gets over the medical emergency, whether she's dealing with her family, we hope that everything goes out well, that we would love to have her on this program once we know post-screening how it does and whether it becomes a series.
Sounds great.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Andrew Carver of Caroline Parkins, thank you both very, very much for joining us. Good luck with the screening, and hopefully let's have a series come out of this. It's been a pleasure to have you both with us.
Thank you. Great talking
Such
to you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Simon.
You're welcome, Andrew and Caroline. Take care.
Bye.
Andrew Kroberg and Caroline Parkins joining us live from Los Angeles and New York, respectively, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. In a moment, the final thoughts in celebration of Neil Simon and John McCain. But first, the answer to this week's Classic Trivia question we've been posing over the last 2 weeks. And here was the question. Nobody unfortunately got it, so we're not awarding the second season DVD of Mr. Mercedes along with Program Guide. The question was, on the TV series Samantha Who, that was the ABC series, ran 2 seasons, Samantha played by Christina Applegate, where did she work? The answer, a real estate firm. We were taking either real estate or real estate firm. Either way would have worked. Nobody got it the last 2 weeks, so no prize awarded. We're going to give our Classic Trivia question a week off for Labor Day week and weekend, but we'll bring it back next weekend. We're going to be with you Tuesday and Friday of next week, and we'll give you another question then. And we'll put that Mr. Mercedes DVD up for a prize. Maybe we'll end with a prize, too. So once again, Classic Trivia question taking a week off this week. Back next Tuesday, 3 Eastern New Pacific. And if you hear the question and you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. And if you first with the correct answer, you will win the Mr. Mercedes second season DVD. Two giants in their respective fields passed away this past weekend. Neil Simon, after dealing with Alzheimer's disease and complications from a medical condition at the age of 91 yesterday, and then the night before, Senator John McCain, after a year of dealing with brain cancer. In the case of Neil Simon, a lot has been said about the incredible body of work for theater and film he did. But let's not forget the fact that it was television that got his career off the ground, and it was TV that helped supplement his career in its later years. Simon broke into television in 1950 on The Gary Moore Show, the daytime version of a show that ran for 8 years in that time period on CBS. But also in 1950, he got involved with a genius named Sid Caesar and fellow geniuses in writing like Mel Brooks and Larry Tonkin, Lucille Callan and Woody Allen and Carl Reiner and so many more as part of your show of shows. And as Bill Persky said in the first half hour, it really set the standard for not only television comedy but TV variety for decades to come. And after that, Simon's relationship with Sid Caesar continued for 3 more years on NBC, 1954 to 57 in Caesar's Hour. Along the way, he also worked with Buddy Hackett and Max Liebman to create the producer, another genius of the early days of TV, on your show of shows, a little comedy called Stanley, a live situation comedy about Buddy Hackett playing a proprietor of a newsstand in a posh hotel. The show only ran half a year. It was very popular with audiences, though. Buddy Hackett really had a big claim to fame with that program, and Neil Simon wrote some of the best scripts of that series. And then, in the late 1950s, he teamed up with the brilliant Nat Hiken, writer, producer, director of Car 54, Where Are You?, on the show that broke him out, The Phil Silvers Show, also known as Sergeant Bilko. On the final season of the show, he wrote some of the best scripts of that series. At one point, he thought about doing his own pilot for a TV series. He did in 1965 on CBS, It wasn't picked up by CBS, but CBS did run the pilot on one of its summer playhouse programs. But all that work in the 1950s set him up for the incredible career he started to have in the 1960s with the first of his 40-plus plays, Come Blow Your Home. Many of them became big motion pictures like Barefoot in the Park, The Odd Couple, and so on. And The Odd Couple, after it became a big play and then a big movie, became a great television series in the 1970s, as Bill Percy suggested, thanks to Gary Marshall and Jerry Belson putting it together, and the brilliant team of Jack Klugman and Tony Randall. It ran five seasons on ABC and then decades worldwide in syndication. He also had Barefoot in the Park translated not once but twice into television shows, once with and also The Odd Couple with the new Odd Couple. But Barefoot in the Park had Scully Mitchell and Tracy Reed as the couple. And in one of my favorite supporting performances of the 1970s, Nipsey Russell, the poet laureate, as their friend. One of my favorite gag lines of that era would be when Nipsey Russell introduced a colleague of his this way. I'd like to introduce you to the Reverend Cornelius Moley, known to his congregations as Holy Moley. I still crack up at that line these days, and I wish that Nipsey Russell could have done more. By the way, Nipsey Russell was a co-star on Car 54, Where Are You? So a little bit of stuff like that. What you also might not know about Neil Simon is that from 1978 until 2007, he brought 8 adaptations of his plays, written himself, to television, from The Good Doctor to The Goodbye Girl. And they are all outstanding, including the Broadway play he did about his days working in television called Laughter on the 25th Floor. Neil Simon started his career in television. He helped bring it to an end in television, and in between and throughout, one of the great writers of anything you could ever find. And he will be profoundly missed. Three Tony Awards, 2 Pulitzer Prizes, including one for one of his final plays, The Brilliant Lost in Yonkers, great screenplays, Oscar nominations for some of the cast and crew of his movie work and his TV work, too. And just one of the most brilliant people around. Neil Simon passed away at the age of 91. And then Senator John McCain. There's a lot you can say about this incredible human being who suffered for many years a prisoner of war and got beyond that to be one of the great leaders of anything in this world. But one television moment, I think, says it all. It's when he faced a 75-year-old as part of his presidential campaign at a rally in Minnesota, where a woman named Dale Correll said face-to-face, right to his face, "I don't trust Barack Obama because he's Arab." And McCain interrupted with these exact words, "No, ma'am, no, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen, that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues." Later on, his daughter Meghan McCain said that that moment was amazing, a beautifully heartfelt moment. And it was really much more than that. And if you want one moment of television of all the TV interviews he did, the 75 appearances on Meet the Press, more than any other guest, that moment defined the man for all time. And it's a definition that we should all follow. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Annie Toad is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow We'll Be Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For Tomorrow We'll Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. We're back on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And I will leave the final thought of the day, again, to John McCain, who put out a final letter before he passed away on Saturday night. It was just read a few hours ago by a press spokesman. "Americans never quit. We never surrender. We never hide from history. We make history." Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.